This is the Global Minority Report, a radio outreach of Thomas Robb Ministries, bringing the good news of God's kingdom to God's special people throughout United States, Canada, the nations of Europe, and wherever their descendants have settled. Thomas Robb Ministries is supported by your tithes and offerings. You can write us at Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. Your hosts for tonight's broadcast are Pastor Thomas Robb and Rachel Pendercraft. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, thank you, David. I certainly appreciate that introduction. And this is Pastor Robb. We're here with another broadcast of the Global Minority Report. And here in the United States, where we broadcast from, of course, is held each year, I think, what we call Thanksgiving. I know in Europe they call it, what usually many places call a harvest festival and so forth, as old Aryan holiday. And here in this country we call it Thanksgiving. They have a Thanksgiving holiday up in Canada too, practiced at a different time of the year, a little bit different date, but in the fall. And so I want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving here in this country, because I got a couple of news items I want to talk about too at the end here, if I have time. But each year we do hold on the fourth Thursday of November Thanksgiving, and some of you people, I'm sure you people in Europe are going to find this interesting also. It's about a holiday of your Aryan brothers and sisters here in this country. And then, of course, we have a lot of people here in the United States who listen to our broadcast, and we certainly are delighted for that. In fact, we're glad that all you people are listening, whether here in the United States or Canada or and of course, we broadcast over right over the North Pole. I don't think there's any people at the North Pole listening to the broadcast. But on down into Russia, into Europe, we broadcast also. So we're glad that you all listen. We want to tell your friends about this show, if you will. Please tell them, tune in. I'm sure they'll learn something from it. They may not always agree, but we will have some interesting things for them to take and mull over, as we say, to think about, chew around in their brain, and they may learn some things. They may reinforce some of the things they already know, and of course they may find some things they disagree with too, but that's okay. We're not trying to tell you what to believe. We're just trying to give you some ideas, something to think about. But back to what I was saying here, in this country we celebrate what we call Thanksgiving. And as you know, the pilgrims who came here from England, they came here in 1620, and after 65 days at sea, they landed their little ship, the Mayflower. And before they set, they were outside of the English jurisdiction. They're supposed to go a little further south. They went because of a winter storm. They landed further north than their intention, and therefore they're basically and officially outside of English jurisdiction. And so they felt a need to draft some type of a governmental structure. They did. It's called the Mayflower Compact. And they elected John Carver as their first governor. And there was 102 pilgrims that came across on that ship. Some of them were not members of the church that came here. But, you know, basically it was a church under direction of led here by God. And when they got here, they were outside of British jurisdiction. So they elected John Carver as their first governor. Excuse me. And he did so for 5 months. But the very first winter was very, very, very harsh. And he died He died 5 months later. And upon his death, they elected a fellow by the name of William Bradford. He became their governor. He became their governor for many, many, many years. And most of the history we know of the pilgrims, most of the accounts, come from the writings of William Bradford, who wrote what was called in 1647. He compiled the history of the Plymouth Plantation. And he recorded the history. He recorded all the hardships and the different things they experienced. And but it's interesting, there was, after that first winter, of course, it was very severe. About half of the pilgrims died during the worst part of it. Some were dying two or three each day. half the pilgrims died, and they went into the spring, they planted their crops, and there was a fellow by the name of Squanto. Squanto was an American Indian. They call him now here in this country Native Americans, but anyway, he was an Indian, and he showed them some ideas on planting the corn and some fishing waters where to fish. And most of our history books today, most of them, if not all of them, basically tell us that Squanto, this Native American, as we are told, the American Indian, that he saved the colony. And if it wasn't for Squanto, we never would have had a Thanksgiving. This is what we are told, that his ability to teach the pilgrims how to do farming saved the colony. I want you to understand, this is what we are told. And I know all you people hear the same thing. You've all heard this. Squanto, the Indian, saved the colony, the Plymouth plantation, from disaster. But that is not really the full truth. That is not exactly what happened, because that fall, after Squanto supposedly showed them how to plant corn, they had a good harvest, but to the dead of the winter, they were in very terrible situation, and they were basically starving. And the second winter was the same way, and they simply did not have, they didn't live very good. They were in terrible situation. And what's interesting about this is that we are told, again, I want to reiterate, we are told that the pilgrims were delivered by the hand of this Indian. And without him, everybody would have died. But what is interesting about this, that is not what happened. According to William Bradford, the situation or the problem they were facing was not necessarily the lack of being able to grow food, but it was the lack of an ambition. The pilgrims had a communal store where everybody kept their food and their provisions in one communal store. And the pilgrims were able to take what they needed from the store as they needed it. And so it was kind of, it was a Christian type of communism. And they provided according to each person's need, as they thought. Well, it turned out that people were lazy. It's human nature. We're all lazy, I guess, to some degree. And the pilgrims were no different. And he says, William Bradford says in his book, History of the Plymouth Foundation or Plantation, that the people didn't want to work. The women didn't want to work. They claimed that they couldn't because they had babies to take care of, or they didn't feel well, or whatever the case may be. They were given excuses. But the men were given excuses too. They were given their own excuse because they thought, why should I have to work? Somebody else, John, is going to do the work. I'm going to be able to get all the food I need anyway. So the men didn't work, especially it says some single men, because they didn't see why some single strapping young man, why he should have to go out and work and help feed a family of four or five children and a wife. Smith over there, he had all these children, had a wife, and why should he work hard for him, the other guy? And so basically, everybody watching out for their own need, were being very lazy. It's human nature. And so that is what was going on. The plantation was starving because after Squanto showed them how to plant corn and supposedly saved the plantation, the people were still hungry and were still destitute. Oh, they had a lot at the harvest time, but not enough to carry on over through the winter. However, William Bradford realized this, and what he did is simply, after 2 years of near starvation and devastation, he simply changed the political, economic structure of the Plymouth plantation the colony, and he basically set up a structure where every person was given their own allotment of land, and they had the responsibility of providing for themselves and taking care of the crops within their own parcel of land. And if they worked hard, they had a lot to eat. If they didn't work hard, they had little to eat. The Bible actually tells it, he who will not work will not eat. It's in the Bible. I don't have in front of me the reference, but if anybody doubts me, they can just turn to the scripture, they can look it up, or write me a letter, ask me where it's at, and I'll tell you. We don't have time now to look it up, but the Bible tells us, he who will not eat or work will not eat. But after William Bradford set up this policy where everybody was responsible for their own provisions, their own care, he said, and I'm going to quote, he said, instead of famine, now God gave them plenty, Bradford wrote. And quote, and the face of things was changed to the rejoicing of the hearts of many for which they blessed God. He said, any general want or famine hath not been among them since then to this day. In fact, in 1624, the very first year after instituting this program, so much food was produced that the colony was able to begin exporting corn. So it wasn't Squanto, the Indian, that saved the colony. I want you to understand that. What saved the colony was free enterprise that they begin to practice. And we have found, certainly in this country, that free enterprise, and we have found in other countries, free enterprise stimulates the desire to work, because everybody has a right to work and receive the benefits of their labor. And that is exactly what happened at the time of the colony. So next time somebody comes, some Looney Tune comes to you and tell you about how Squanto, the American Indian, saved the Pilgrims, and we're supposed to have some type of be indebted to them for the rest of our living days, the rest of our life. Point this out to them. I'm not making this up. But William Bradford, the governor of the Plymouth Foundation, talks about this in his book, the History of Plymouth Plantation. So it's well documented. And so, like I said, next time some Looney Tune comes up and tell you, oh, the American Indians, they saved us, and all that sort of stuff. It's a bunch of hogwash. Nothing of the fact is true. I don't want to discount the contribution that Squanto did give. He evidently was of some help. He certainly mentioned in by William Bradford. He did show him some good places to fish and gave him some knowledge of planting corn. He did have some expertise in that area. I don't know if he had that from his own or maybe, Squanto, a lot of people aren't aware of it, but Squanto actually spoke pretty much a fluent English. And he was taken as a slave to, I think first to France, maybe it was Spain, and then on to England. So he learned a lot in those areas and possibly learned how to do farming. Maybe it wasn't Squanto so much, an Indian technology, farming technology to save their provisions there. Maybe it was, European farming techniques that Squanto brought back. I don't know. But anyway, the colony was saved. That's important. And they had so much food after introducing free enterprise into the colony that the colony began to prosper and began exporting corn by 1624 and flourished after that. 1623, in the fall of 1623, they announced their first official proclamation for Thanksgiving. It said, inasmuch as the Great Father, I'm getting here from William Bradford's History of the Plymouth Plantation, the first Thanksgiving proclamation said, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squash, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. On the basis of that, they announced November 25, 1623 is a day which is for rendering thanksgiving to the Almighty God for all of His blessings. You know, America was founded as a Christian country, and those here in America were grateful for that. And I don't want to sound too boastful, but I am proud of our country here in America. But I know there are many, many reasons for our brothers and sisters in Europe to be equally proud of the accomplishments within their own borders of their own nation. We're all one people. It really isn't. It's accomplishments of our people. I can have just as much pride for the history and the heritage of Poland and Russia as I can have for England and Scotland, or France and Spain and Italy and Germany and the Scandinavian countries. I'm proud of all those countries, all our ancestral homeland. What a wonderful, wonderful heritage we have, and a wonderful culture we have that we can share. Our people, you know, because, you know, like I say, and we're not going to get into much today, but you know, we are God's people. We are the sheep of His pasture, the Bible calls. And Christianity flourished among our people because we are His people. And He has blessed our people throughout all our homeland, throughout all our nations, and throughout all our history. And this is why you can't name a third world white nation. It's just impossible. God has blessed our people. And the reason for that is because we are the people of God. The children of Israel who migrated out of Palestine through the centuries. The tribe of Dan taking ships and sailing across the Mediterranean. Settling in Ireland. And of course, going through the Dariel Pass and the Caucasus Mountains, settling up in the lower Russia, and then became, of course, known as Scythians, and out into Europe and so on. So we have wonderful history to be proud of. I do want to mention a couple of things here. Some good news, some really good news. I'm really glad to hear about this. Nick Griffith, who's with the British National Party. Nick Griffith, I want to point out, is a Cambridge University graduate. He's a lawyer, and he is the leader of the British National Party. And he went on trial recently because he pointed out some things that are very truthful. Because England, as well as our countries of Europe, we'll talk about Russia here in a minute, our countries, not just Europe, but Canada, United States, or Australia, all our white countries are being invaded by non-whites into our homeland, into our nations, and upsetting our people and destroying our culture and our heritage and destroying our blood. I want to stop for a minute, and before I continue on, and I want to invite you people, everybody listening to this broadcast, to give the address at the end of the broadcast, and our announcer will give it at that time. Listen throughout the rest of this broadcast, get the address, and write for a sample copy of our publication, The Torch. You can just write to us, and we'll send a sample copy to you. It covers a lot of issues from a Bible viewpoint, dealing with the cultural battle going on within our nations, and also, of course, deals from a biblical standpoint the identity of our people with the house of Israel and the great blessings God has bestowed upon us, and warns people that the deception of the great one world church that is promoting today homosexuality, sodomy as we know it as, and immigration, and also miscegenation, race mixing. So I encourage you to write for us, ask for a sample copy of The Torch, and we'll get it sent to you, and look it over, and if you think you'd like to subscribe to us, send us a few dollars, we'll appreciate that, and we'll add you to the mailing list, and you'll get this into your home, and it'll help educate you, and more importantly, it'll help you to have the answers for your children. I know you people with children, youngsters, Sometimes your kids are hearing stuff on TV or hearing stuff from their friends, maybe from the school, from the churches, and so on. They're hearing these things, and it's important when they come home and ask questions, when they're still in the formative years, when they're searching for answers, it's important that you have those answers for them. It's not always good enough for you to just say, well, Daddy says so, Mommy says so. You got to give them some information. And begin teaching those children when they're very, very young. Very young. Don't wait till they're 8, 10 years old. Start teaching them of love of their heritage, love of their culture, love of their people, the love of their blood. When they're 6 months old, when they're a year old, when they're 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, constantly embrace the love of our people. I don't want anybody, and I always stress, we're not concerned about hating anyone. I certainly would never ask anyone to hate somebody who isn't of our heritage. But I do ask them to love our people. And so we want you to teach them. And so write for a sample copy of The Torch, T-O-R-C-H, The Torch, and we will send that to you. But back to Nick Griffith of the British National Party. He in a speech, he labeled Islam as a wicked and vicious faith. But he was cleared by a jury in Northern England, along with another British National Party member, Mark Collett, who was also acquitted. Griffith had also referred to Britain as being a multicultural hellhole, quote unquote, multicultural hellhole, and pointed out that gangs of Asians and Muslims were raping white youngsters. Well, this is true. It's happened. The same thing happened in this country. It's happened in Australia. It's happened wherever they are at. There's problems. So I don't know why that is, and I wish it wasn't that way, but it appears to be so. And we're not saying that to generate hatred towards anybody. We're saying love your children and protect them, and that's what you need to do. He said, this wicked, referring to Islam, this wicked, vicious faith has expanded from a handful of cranky lunatics about 1,300 years ago, and is now sweeping country after country. Well, so true that is. It's a very, very severe problem here in England and in other places. In Germany, just not too long ago, a minister, I don't agree at all with his reaction, how he handled the situation, but nevertheless, it points out how desperate some people feel towards this growing problem, that he sacrificed himself. He doused kerosene or gasoline upon his body and lit himself on fire and died. He died the next day. He was a very elderly man, and he was so shocked and upset by this growing problem that he wanted to call attention to it. So he sacrificed himself. And how sad that is. We also want to mention that Russia, oh golly, I tell you, I'm finding more and more reason to love the Russian people. You people over there are great. What wonderful things that's happening over there. As I understand here, there's a concern about the growing ethnic non-white minority foreigners coming to Russia. That Konstantin Romodanovsky, he's director of the Federal Migration Service. He's asking that there be a curtail the amount of foreign workers in the workplace. Even the President Putin ordered his cabinet last month to take steps to decrease the employment of foreign workers in Russian markets, claiming that they were crowding out the native Russian producers and retailers. Well, it's about time that some leader of some country cares enough about his people that he's willing to do something about it. So we have, we say three cheers for Putin. I don't know about some of his other politics and, I don't know. Race is the issue. I'm not concerned about somebody's always concerned about somebody's politics and other issues. Race is an issue. Race is very important, and that's the issue. And so we say three cheers for Vladimir Putin for wanting to curtail the foreigners working within the Russian marketplace. One of the things they said in this news article, he says that, he said, concentration of foreigners in any district or region should not surpass 17 or 20%. He said it should be no bigger than 17 or 20% of the native population, particularly if they have a different national culture and religious faith. He said, let's keep our culture, let's keep our religious faith, which is Christian, and we don't want these alien religions coming into our country, and we need to control it. He says here, quote, I consider that settlements of the Chinatown type would be unacceptable for Russia, and I can assure you that there will be no such settlements. And he said it's exceeding this norm creates discomfort for the indigenous population. Well, how true that is. There are major sections of every city in this country, and I venture to say in Europe also, there are major sections where white people do not dare go without fear of losing their lives. So yes, it's very disturbing and very creates a lot of discomfort for our people. Nobody wants to get off the freeway at the wrong exit. Nobody wants to go into the bad part of town. And we all know what color the bad part of town is. We all know what color that is. So he says that there isn't a sector of our economy where we have a labor deficit. Well, he's saying we got plenty of Russian people needing jobs. We don't need to be foreigners into Russia. We got plenty of Russian people who need jobs. And I'm venturing to say the same thing is for France, and same thing is for Germany and England and the United States also. So we need to protect our borders, protect our home, and protect our culture, and protect our children. Because ultimately, what we want you to do, my brothers and sisters, is want you to be aware that we love our culture, we love our people, and we love our heritage. And we want you to love them too. Thank you very much. This is Thomas Rao. Be sure to listen again to the Global Minority Report. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Global Minority Report with Pastor Thomas Robb and Rachel Pendergraf. The Global Minority Report is a radio ministry of Thomas Robb Ministries and is supported by your tithes and offerings. You can write for a free sample copy of our news and ministry magazine by writing to Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. If possible, when you write, please include a small offering to cover our mailing expenses. Our address again is Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. You can also visit us on the internet at christianidentity.tv. Please tune in every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Thank you for listening, and again, this is the Global Minority Report.